in advance of the coming Shabbos. I guess this was the first Shabbos that they were in the Midbar. And the Torah tells us in Pasuk Kafei, "V'yomer Moshe, ichluhu hayom ki Shabbos hayom l'Hashem, hayom lo timseuhu basada." In essence, telling them, listen, this double portion you got on Friday, have half of it now today on Shabbos, because there is not going to be an additional portion falling today. The man, as we know, famously did not fall on Shabbos, but a double portion came on Friday, and therefore, ichluhu hayom, eat today, because you will be able for Shabbos, but you will not have any special food coming on Shabbos itself. Eat from what you got yesterday. So if you know, when you see this pasuk, there's one word that seems to be unnecessarily redundant. What is that word? Hayom, right? Let's read it again. V'yomer Moshe echlu hayom, ki Shabbos hayom l'Hashem, hayom lom tinsuhu basadeh. How many times does it say hayom? Three times. And therefore, the Gemara says in Masech the Shabbos on Tav Kuf Yozayim Abayz, and this is how we paskin, although there was an opinion that said maybe you need four meals, but there's an opinion based on this drasha, three times hayom in the pasuk, that in fact there's a mitzvah to eat three meals a day on Shabbos. And that is the topic that I'd like to speak about this evening, the mitzvah of shalosh tnudos, eating three meals on Shabbos. The Shulchan Aruch paskins this halacha in Siman Reish Tzadik Aleph, Sif Aleph, that one must eat three meals over Shabbos, one in the evening, one in the morning, and one in the afternoon. The Shulchan Aruch goes out of his way to tell us that this is a chiyuv, even if you're not necessarily hungry, you're still supposed to do this. Of course, the Shulchan Aruch adds that since the whole purpose of this is for your enjoyment, so if it's going to be so unenjoyable because you're so full, you shouldn't eat. On the other hand, the Shulchan Aruch also says that Chacham Eina Barosho, you should try to pace yourself, especially in advance of the third meal, so that you shouldn't be overstuffed, and therefore you should have an appetite, at least to eat something for Shalosh Shudas. The nature of this drasha is debated by the poskim. There are some, the Prima Gadim quotes a Lavush, also a Sefer Charedim, and the Taz quotes from the Maharal Miprag. At least these three poskim agree that this is a bona fide drasha, and in fact, the mitzvah of eating shalosh sudas is a chiyuv d'oraisa. However, it seems that is probably not the majority opinion. The Maharil and others, also quoted by the Prima Gadim, seem to say that no, this is just a nice asmachta, but really this is a mitzvah midrabanan, and perhaps a kind of a pshara is notably suggested by the Aruch HaShulchan, who says that even if Shalosh Sudos is not a chi of the Oraisa, but at the very least, as we see here, they were not, they were misakin by Moshe Rabbeinu, Ubeis Dino, but Moshe Rabbeinu, and therefore there's a certain extra oomph, so to speak, to the mitzvah, even if it technically may only have the status of a chi of the Rabbanan. Who is chayev to eat this this obligation, to eat Shalosh Sudos? Is it only men, or is it also women? So it's interesting that while there's no machlokas in psak, it doesn't seem, as far as I know, there is a machlokas in rationale, which itself is interesting to consider. Rabbeinu Tam, in his Sefer HaYashar, and quoted as well by other Rishonim, Rabbeinu Tam says that women are chayavos in the Shalosh Sudos because of the concept of Af Hein Hayuba Osahanes. If the makor, according to the Gemara, is the miracle of the man, we benefited from the man, it says hayom three times about the man, so we have a concept in halacha, afein hayubos hanes, and therefore, since they also benefited from the miracle, they should also have a chiyuv to respond and to memorialize, so to speak, that miracle. The Ran has a well-known critique of this Rabbeinu Tam, and the Ran says, I don't understand, it's true, afein hayubos hanes, no one's debating that as a concept, but you don't need to come on to afein hayubos hanes. Afein hayubos hanes is a global or external factor, but there's a much more local, internal argument which would be mechayev of women. What's that? Zachar v'shamar b'divracha, to paraphrase what Shlomo Alkevitz in his famous song of L'chadodi. Right? The Chazal tell us, both in the Gemara and Masechta Brachos, and in Masechta Shavuos, that Ma, Shepeh, you know, what the mouth couldn't say and the ear couldn't hear, somehow miraculously happened, and Zachor and Shamor, as Hashabbos Lakatra, were said simultaneously. Those, as we know, are the sources for the Mrs. Asay and Mrs. Loz Asay. What is accomplished by this super duper magical simultaneous utterance, says the Gemara, because you cannot separate between Zachor and Shamor. Anyone who is obligated in the Loz Asays, by definition, must be obligated in the Asays. And therefore, the Gemara says, women who, of course, are obligated in the Loz Asays, the famous Mishnah Masechet Kiddushin, Daf Chaf Tes, tells that women are equal to men in all Loz Asays with almost zero exception, although there's a little technical exception, which is kind of biologically related, of the payas, shaving those. But, says the Gemara, other than that, women are obligated in all Loz Asays. So, of course, women are prohibited from doing malacha on Shabbos. And once you have someone who's obligated in the Loz Asays of Shabbos, automatically, memela, they're obligated in all the Asays. Which is why, as we've spoken about on previous occasions, women are chayavos in Kiddush. In fact, the woman could be mostly a man in Kiddush, because technically they have the absolute same obligation. So, says the Ran, that's why women are obligated in Shalosh Sudos. Zachor v'Shamor v'Direcha, they're obligated in all mitzvahs asay of Shabbos. So what do you need to come on to? Afen oy v'asareh is only if they would have been potter, afen could be v'chayiv them. But they're chayiv anyway because of this. And again, I think methodologically, and again, I assume this would be true in other disciplines as well, and it's certainly true in Torah, if you have two options, so to speak, to strengthen an argument, to bolster a point, as a raya, one which is, so to speak, local or more internal, is a stronger proof, it's going to be more dispositive, than one which is more, maybe true, but more global, and therefore we're applying it locally. Something that's more internal is going to be stronger. So says the Ran, why go to something broader? Afin Rabbi Osanei, stick with Hilchos Shabbos itself, that would be Mechayavim. Yes. Oh, good, good, good. So I think that may be the explanation. So I was thinking, why Taka would the Rabbeinu Tam not hold this? I mean, the Ran just leaves, if you forgive the expression, leaves them for dead. The Ran just leaves it as such. But it could be that he understands that, well, let's take it back in the other direction. It could be that he understands that Zachor v'Shamor is only from Mrs. Daraisa. As if, right, the example usually is Kiddush, which is a mitzvah d'oraisa. So they're but maybe the mitzvahs that the Rabbanon added on to Shabbos, maybe we don't say about it, right? Zachor v'Shamor v'Divarechot is by definition talking about mitzvahs d'oraisa. Those are included in the Zachor and the Shamor. The Rabbanons aren't included in Zachor or Shamor. They're the Rabbanons. So maybe this halacha doesn't apply to that. On the flip side, there is also a discussion about the role of Avhein Hayibos Anes, and it could be that would be maybe why, that's another reason why the Ran wouldn't want it, because it could be that he holds it's Daraisa and Avhein only applies to Darabonon. So, depending on how you hold if it's Daraisa or Darabonon, may relate to these two. But either way, in a certain sense, it's an academic machlokas, because everyone, both Rishonim, the Ran and the Rabbeinu Tam, hold that women are Hayabos. If you take a look in the Poskim of Shulchan Aruch, you'll see different things quoted. The Mishnah Berurah quotes both reasons. The Magen Avraham just quotes the reason of Zachor v'Shamor. But in essence, there's not really a huge machlokas. It is worth noting the comment of the Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan just kind of takes a look at everything that's going on in the Svarim and takes a look at what's going on everything in the community. He says it doesn't seem to shtim. He says, because everyone agrees, it's Beferish in Shulchan Aruch, the women are Chayavos and Shlosh Sudos. He says, but I look around and I don't think things have changed too much from 19th century in the Vardik. He says women are only eating two sudos, they're not eating shalosh sudos.
Even men, if I forget the same saying, the
shalosh sudos. We'll get to that halacha. Okay, we're not talking about that yet, but we'll get to that. But he says the Aruch HaShulchan, women aren't eating shalosh sudos, and they're chayavos. The chayavos eat shalosh sudos, and the Aruch HaShulchan goes bananas. He's very upset. How come women aren't eating shalosh sudos? He says the only thing I can think of is they don't know. So we have a chiyuv to tell them that they're obligated to eat shalosh sudos. What is do you have to eat for shalosh sudos? Is the topic we'll get to. But as far as I know, there's no real heter, even though there seems to be a minug. But there's no rationalization for women to completely ignore shalosh sudos. And again, the Aruch HaShulchan in particular was very, very upset about this. The Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos discusses this in Perek Lamed, Halacha Tes. And the Rambam, interestingly, when he refers to this chiyuv to eat three meals a day, three meals of Shabbos, When? How would you imagine if I was going to tell you when are the three chiyuvim at night, during the day, and the afternoon? So imagine you're the scribe, you're writing, you're the Rambam. How would you write night, day, and afternoon? I can't hear you. Somebody give me a Arab of Oker of Tzaraim. Anyone else? Laila, Boker, Tzaraim. I didn't ask you what the Rambam says, you sneaky son of a gun. I could see you. See, if you wouldn't have been smiling, I would have thought you came up with that on your own. But you were too transparent. At least you were honest. Okay, anybody else? Huh? Good. So all of those things are what I would have said also. However, Rabbi Zirkin cheated. Cheating meaning he has broad base of knowledge, Baruch Hashem. But he was quoting what is in fact the case. The Rambam does not say that. The Rambam, instead of saying evening, morning, and afternoon, the Rambam says Arvis Shachris V'mincha. Now, those are terms that are associated with tefillah, not necessarily with times of the day. And I saw a very small piece, but I think it's a very intriguing piece that a word from Rav Soloveitchik quoted in the fourth volume of the Masorah Journal, where Rav Soloveitchik wanted to suggest the following based on this diuk in the Rambam, which is really comes really from the Mishnah. The Mishnah in Masechet Shabbos indicates this to a certain extent as well, but he was obviously focused on the Lashon of the Rambam, and he bases this on the following. The Yerushalmi in Masechet Shabbos and Perek Aleph Halacha Gimel has a chiddush. We don't usually assume it, but this is what the Yerushalmi says. Yerushalmi says that the halacha of chatzi lachem v'chatzi lashem applies to Shabbos as well. We know it's a famous machlokas in the Gemara about Yontif, Shavuos, right, exactly, but the bottom line is for most Yomim Tovim we paskin, you're supposed to not be an ascetic and not be a hedonist, you're supposed to be somehow combined. Half the day should be for Hashem, and half the day in more physical pleasures, chatzi lachem. So the Yerushalmi says that halacha applies to Shabbos as well. And the Soloveitchik suggested perhaps that that's what the Mishnah, and to a greater extent the Rambam, is getting at by using the lashon that you have to eat by Arvis Shachris HaMincha. Namely, that the primary way, not the only way, but the primary way we fulfill the chatzi lachem is by being in shul and davening Arvis Shachris HaMincha. And therefore, in order to balance the chatzi lashem, the Rambam says, at those same times during the day, the halacha requires us, paralleling our chatzi lashem at night arvis, have a Friday night dinner. Our chelik lashem shachris, have a lunch. Our chelik lashem mincha, have a shalashudis. That way, it's dafka, this says the Rav, by connecting it to the shilos in the language, the Rambam was suggesting that part of what you're accomplishing by those meals is a fulfillment constantly balancing the chatzi lachem, which is through the davening and shul, with the chatzi lachem, with the meal. An interesting idea, I haven't seen it anywhere else, and again, it's possible not to get so fahitzed about the diuk and the Rambam also, but it is interesting, I think, it is an interesting diuk, and if one does not give this explanation, then perhaps another explanation would be necessary. What? I don't remember. Okay. Now, until now, we have focused on the idea of eating Shabbos meals as a fulfillment of, as the Gemara Masechta Shabbos itself has told us, Ichluhu Hayom Ki Shabbos Hayom LaHashem. That's a pasuk in our parsha. However, the Gemara in Masechta Psachim and Rashi in Gittin and other places makes a different point. Tells us that there's another reason or reasons to eat meals on Shabbos, and that is for something that they refer to as Kavod Shabbos. Or furthermore, the Rambam, two halachos earlier, in the same Perek Lamed Halacha Zayin, also says that there's a chiyuv to eat Shabbos meals because of Oneg Shabbos. Now, we have alluded, I think, I think in other shurim we have discussed, whether it will be Thursday night or Shabbos or Yontif shurim, I don't remember. I believe we've discussed the fact that there is a literature, not coincidentally, particularly concentrated in some of the Brisker Svarim, about the difference between Kavod and Oneg. But that's really a subtlety. Fundamentally, we don't necessarily distinguish, and we certainly group these two together. They come from the Pasuk and Navi together, Kras al Shabbos Oneg, that we have this idea of Kavod for Hashem and Oneg on Shabbos, and fundamentally we associate the two of them. And again, certainly they come from the same source in the Tanakh. So, for the purpose of this year, I'm not going to get hung up on the fact that the Rambam talks about it for Oneg and Rashi talks about it for Kavod. But the bottom line is an idea of Kavod and Oneg Shabbos is expressed by the Rishonim when it comes to the Shabbos meals. What is interesting, therefore, is to take a step back and try to understand why is this necessary? Why do we need to come on to Oneg or Kavod Shabbos when we already have a Pasuk and Chumash? Whether you'll say it's a bona fide daraisa, that really makes the question harder. And even if you'll say it's only a dindarabonon and it's an asmachta, but still we already have the asmachta, we already have the pasuk and chumash, achlu ayom. We didn't need to wait till the Nevi'im came around, we already had a takana of Moshe Rabbeinu in the desert. So why do we have, what's this other idea of oneg or kavod Shabbos? Huh? Okay, good. So the lechem issue, which one is that for? Well, the lechem I want to hold off on. I'm not sure if the other ones would be relevant, but it seems, again, certainly the Rambam himself quotes both ideas, others, it seems that there are two different chiyuvim, or two different kiyumim of the mitzvah of Suda Shabbos, but again, we won't assume that it would be redundant. L'chore, if they're both there, they must be coming to teach us different things, and that's what I want to spend really the rest of the shiur on, is to illustrate the difference between these two machayvim and really put together things that I saw from three different sources. One is a piece by Shlomka Berman. Shlomka Berman Zatzal was the son-in-law of the Stipler and one of Shiva Zapanovich. At a relatively young age, he took ill and he lived for many years in more or less incapacitated and out of sight, and not long ago passed away. But he has a small output of Svarim called the Asher L'Shlomo. He has a piece on this in a different volume, in the fifth volume of the Masorah Journal of Soloveitchik. There's a piece from him a little bit, which seems to dovetail. And a third, more recent sefer, is a sefer by one of the Rosh Hashivas, one of my Rebbeim, which is at YU, Rabbi Yonasan Sacks. Who has a very beautiful sefer that he came out with, I think it was last year, primarily on Malachos Shabbos, but then there's a section on Mitzvot Aseh on Shabbos, and he says some of these ideas as well. But really, it's interesting, even though they're talking about different things, fundamentally, the Chiddush, Shlomo Berman and Soloveitchik really overlap and really complement each other in this regard. So let's take a step back and now before we get back to the issue of what is the machayev of Shalosh Sudos, so let's ask the question, what do we have to eat? And this was anticipated a few minutes ago. And let's focus specifically as an illustration on the third meal itself, on the Suda Shlishis, on Shalosh Sudos, as we call it. Tosfos in Masechta Yuma tells us that you need to have bread. You need to have hamotzi, you need to have bread at the third meal, because it corresponds, what's the chiyuv of the third meal? The man, achlu hayom, just like the first two meals need bread, because the man was like the staple, it was like bread. So to Shalosh Sudos requires bread like the other two meals. The Rambam, the Rosh, the Tur, also quote this idea, and in fact the Rambam goes so far as to say that you need to have lechem mishnah, not just one roll. And l'chachil and Shulchan Aruch said that way as well, that you should try to have lechem mishnah. However, many, many other Rishonim disagree. The Rabbeinu Tam in the Tosfos, Rabbeinu Yonah, the Ran, all hold that eating other foods suffice. Whether there's a chiyuv to have meat, fish, mizonos, there's different nuances, in fact. But fundamentally, these other Rishonim agree that you do not have to have bread. If you take a look in Shulchan Aruch, again, this is all in Simin Reish, Tzadik Aleph, Sifim Dalid, and Hei, you see, basically, from the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, that it's really best to have bread. In fact, it's best to have lacha mishnah. If you're not having lacha mishnah, it's best at least to have a whole bread, not just a slice of bread. And in fact, the Shulchan Aruch then goes on to give the hierarchy. While it's best to have bread, it says if you can't do that, you should at least have mizonos. And if you're not going to have mizonos, you should at least have meat or fish. And finally, if you're not even going to have that, then you should at least have some kind of fruit. But you have to eat something. But the Shulchan Aruch actually gives four different shitas. But yes, it means anything, anything, vegetables, fruits. Pretty much, any shahakol, something like that, yeah. You mean etymologically? I'm not even sure. Do you know what's the etymology of Targima? Targam. I'm not sure. Okay. That's what I want to get to. Perfect, exactly. The Aruch HaShulchan, by the way, the Aruch HaShulchan, we know he's a kanoi for Shalashuddas. He's upset that the women aren't eating Shalashuddas. And he also is very upset that the Shulchan Aruch even mentions these heterim of the other three shitas. He says if the Rambam and the Rosh and the Tur and the Machaber himself clearly thinks you should have Hamotzi, so maybe you won't have Lecha Mishnah, maybe, but Hamotzi you have to have, and he doesn't think you can rely on these other shitas. But that's, as I said, that's the Aruch HaShulchan. They say that Nevardik had a lively Shalashuddas. No, I'm just kidding, I don't know. Anyway, I'd like to think if the Rav held it so important, I would like to think that his community followed suit. But anyway, so that's basically the Shita. So the question I want to ask is Louis' question. Exactly. Why should Shalashuddas be any different? Why would you be more lenient in Suda Shlishis than you would be in either the first two Sudos? After all, they all have the same source. Exactly your question. So one possible answer, not related to our overall topic. In fact, it introduces a completely different Hilchos Shabbos topic, but it could be that this is the answer, comes from Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah in Brachas quotes in the Baal Yatosus, the Rabbeinu Tzarfas, that what is the chiyuv to eat bread to begin with? Why do you have to eat bread at any of the meals? So he holds, like Eli, he holds it's not really a chiyuv per se. It's not really a chiyuv per se. It's an expression, or it's a t'nai in Hilchos Kiddush. Because Hilchos Kiddush, the Gemara in Arvei Pesachim tells us, requires not just Kiddush, but you have to have Kiddush b'makom suda, in association with a meal. Right? That's a topic in its own right, not our topic tonight. But that's how Rabbeinu Yonah quotes, that the need for lechem at the suda is really a din, not in the suda, but it's a din in Kiddush, that the Kiddush requires lechem for Kiddush b'makom suda. I don't want to get bogged down in that. I don't want to debate it. That's not our topic for tonight. But naniach, if that is true, so then we would have an easy answer for why you might have a difference between Shalashuddas and the other two meals, because since, and this is a different topic, it is related to our issue tonight, but not one I want to focus on. But Lamaisa is not much of a discussion. Pretty much everyone agrees there's no obligation of Kiddush as Shalashuddas. You have to make Kiddush really midaraisa only at night, midarabanan only during the day once, sachruhu balailu bayom, you've already done that in the morning. So since there's no din of Kiddush as Shalashuddas, if you accept Rabbeinu Yonah, there's no need to have bread, and that may be the explanation of the other of these Rishonim and why you might distinguish between Shalashuddas and the others. As I said, there is a little bit of a discussion, and there are some posts who say, "Lachili, you should at least have a cup of wine," but that's not Menag Yisrael. It's not Menag Yisrael. However, there is a second possible answer that we could suggest for this discrepancy between Shalashuddas and all the other meals, which would take us back to the question beforehand of what is the machayev of Shalashuddas in general. And for this particular point, as I said, we'll complement it with a few others, I hope in a few minutes, but for this particular point, I want to, the source of this is a piece from Rav Soloveitchik in the fifth volume of the Masorah Journal, where he explained as follows, also a very interesting chiddush. He said the following. He says, fundamentally, the halacha of shalosh sudos, achlu hayom, chi of shalosh sudos, does not require bread at any meal, not Friday night, and not Shabbos morning, and not Shalashuddas. Rabbeinu Daran, and the Rabbeinu Tam, and the others understood that Enachinami Lui, Shalashudas, is no different than any of the other two meals. None of them have to have bread midin shalosh sudos. So why is it that taka, there is a halacha, that you have to have bread, and even lechem mishnah, by hamotzi, Friday night, and by Shabbos lunch? It's not a din in shalosh sudos, it's a din in oneg Shabbos. Oneg Shabbos divides up the day into two parts, night and day. And the halacha is that you have to have an oneg at night and during the day. And the halacha is that a staple of that oneg has to be bread. We know that there's generally a presumption that the staple will include meat and fish. So there we have a little wiggle room. People don't like meat and fish, they're not required. Most people like it, therefore it's generally a chiyuv. But bread, again, barring someone who has health concerns, that's a staple, that's a fundamental din and oneg. And therefore, midin oneg, you're required to have it once at night and once during the day. So therefore, that's why you have to have hamotzi at dinner, and that's why you have hamotzi at the second meal at lunch. But it's not a din in shalosh sudos, it's a din in oneg. But once you've already fulfilled that obligation, there's no longer a chiyuv. Maybe there would be a chiyuv if you had the bread, but there's no chiyuv of oneg for the rest of Shabbos. And therefore, once that's already been fulfilled, Mamela, the Rishonim understand that there's no chiyuv of oneg, and therefore no chiyuv of hamotzi at Sudar Shlishas. So this is one possible, and perhaps the most fundamental, nafkamina between these two mechayvim. On the one hand, we said, the Gemara seems to say from our parsha, the chiyuv is achlu hayom. Yet at the same time, the Gemara and the Rishonim talk about kavod or oneg Shabbos. We said, lamai nafkamina. Why do you need both? The answer is a major nafkamina. It could be that according to this, achlu hayom applies to the three meals. Oneg only applies to the first two, to Shabbos dinner and Shabbos lunch. With, for now, our first concrete nafkamina being, do you have to have bread? If you assume, like Rav Soloveitchik, that the mechayev of hamotzi is only oneg, so then it would come out, understandable, well, you only have to have hamotzi in the first two meals, because there you're fulfilling two kiyumim when you have your meal, shalosh sudos and oneg Shabbos. But you won't have to have hamotzi by the third meal, when there's only one mechayev, the din of achluhu hayom, but no longer a mechayev of oneg Shabbos. Based on the Rambam and others, they put the way, that's the way they formulate it, that there's a chiyuv, that there's a chiyuv. Again, it may be, and if you just have it at night, you have not dispensed your obligation. You have a chiyuv to have oneg in the day as well.
What is that?
It's connected to his first chiddush, the way he said tonight? I'm not sure. I don't remember if he has an earlier source or it was just... I'm not sure, but that's what he's working with.
Exactly.
That's exactly the point. To make the point, and this will get to something you said before, a raya that Rabbi Sachs, interestingly, even though he's a Talmud, Rabbi Sachs actually quotes from Shlomo Berman, doesn't quote this piece from Soloveitchik. But Rabbi Sachs very beautifully dovetails on this point, and he brings up something that you alluded to before, namely that on the one hand, it's interesting, on the one hand, the Shulchan Aruch says, and Siman Reish Ayin Dalid, you have to have bread at night and during the day. And Siman Reish Tzadik Aleph, as we just said, he even quotes multiple shitas. The Shulchan Aruch seems to say that you're really supposed to have bread at Shalosh Sudos. And yet, if you go back to Siman Kuf Pei Ches, which is the halacha of benching, what if you forget Ritzei? Do you have to go back or not? So if you forget Ritzei during dinner or lunch, you have to go back, because the rule generally is whenever you have a chiyuv to have a meal, you have a chiyuv to mention that day in the benching, whether it be Yalav Yovo, Al Anisim, or Ritzei. Any day that's Mechayev Asuda, you have to mention that day in the benching, and if you don't mention it, you have to go back.
So that's why if you forget Ritzei at dinner or at lunch on Shabbos, you have to go back. So l'chaora, what's the halacha if I forget? I taka washed at Shal Shittus, but I forgot Ritzei. Do I have to go back or not? So I would have assumed the Shulchan Aruch Machaber l'shitaso, who holds you're supposed to eat bread, would have said you do have to go back. If the Shulchan Aruch Hasidim Kuf Peches says b'diavad, if you forgot Ritzei at Shal Shittus, you don't have to go back like on Rosh Chodesh. And why not? So the Mishnah Brura says, well, since there are shitas that hold you don't have to have bread when it comes to brachos, safe brachos lahakel. It's a machlokes of brachos. I ask Rabbi Sachs. But that's not how the Shulchan Aruch passes. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't pass like those who shown him. He holds that you do have to have bread. So it could be, and this is going one step further than Soloveitchik. Soloveitchik said his Chiddush, if I understood correctly, within those Shittos who didn't require bread. But it could be that he's trying to wiggle this even into the Mechaber, because the Pashtus of the Mechaber was really holding like the other Rishonim. But he could be that he was suggesting that the Shulchan Aruch, however you want to call it, whether he holds it's a Chiyuv or a Lechad Chila, but basically he wants to suggest that even the Shulchan Aruch was Mechabel the idea that Midin Oneg, everyone, even the Mechaber agrees that there's no longer a Chiyuv at Shal HaShittus. So it's only Achluhu Kayom, and never, maybe it's a Lechad Chila or some kind of a Ke'en Chiyuv to have bread. It's certainly a kiyum of oneg, but there's no chiyum. Even the machaber, he says, agrees to that in lambda, so to speak. There's no chiyum, and therefore, you would not need to go back with Ritzei. Very interesting. What's the difference? Again, so usually the difference would be bread. That's usually how we're kaveh suda, and the answer is, depends. First two meals, and then the shayla is about the third meal. Okay? Well, that's, yeah, there's nothing here that's different between men and women, assuming that women are chayiv and shal shittus. The Shulchan Aruch in Sif Gimel, back in Reish Tzadik Aleph, has a very interesting formulation. Possible in the winter, right? You're having a levedic meal, you have a long lunch, and all of a sudden you look and you say, oh my gosh, it's dark. Getting dark. What do I do? So it says Shulchan Aruch, you're eating lunch and comes mincha time, you should bench, and then wash again and eat the third meal. This also a little bit relates, Mordechai, to what you said. You should, in other words, you have to break and end the second meal, bench, and then you'll eat the third meal. So, Rav Berman in the Sefer says, what is going on here? I have to have Shal HaShittus. Okay, I have to eat mincha time, even. Okay, so I'll just continue eating the same pressing I've been doing since 2 o'clock, since 1 o'clock. But now, whatever I'll eat now, I'll have in mind, that's for Shal HaShittus also. He says it's clear that if the only chiyuv for shalosh sudos was oneg, then that would be sufficient. I'll tell you, I had oneg in the morning, I had oneg in the afternoon, that's enough. However, he says, if you hold that it's not just a din in oneg, but there's a separate halacha called shalosh sudos from achluhu hayom, arvis, shachris, and mincha, so then, a little bit narrow approach to what you said, it's not enough just to eat during those times of day, but rather I have to be koveya specific meals corresponding to those times of days. We didn't oneg, what's the difference? Oneg doesn't make a difference. Oneg is, you know, subjective and gastronomical. If I'm enjoying, I'm enjoying. But this idea of formally requiring a specific formalized meal and a specific formalized time of day, says that doesn't come from Oneg Shabbos, that comes from our parsha, Talacha in Daf Kuf Yezayin of Achluhu Hayom. And that would be the only reason why I'd have to artificially, I mean, it's the same meal. I'm artificially ending it with a benching, artificially starting again. Maybe I'm not only going to have dessert, maybe I'm not even going to have Hamotzi again. Why am I having this artificial end? Midin Oneg, it makes no sense. The answer is no, there's another Machayiv, which is especially true, because it's really the only thing that's left for the third meal, and that's called Achluhu Hayom. Pesach is a huge issue. I discussed that the last time it happened, and I assume that come Nisan, I'll discuss that again. That's when I just, one-liner from the last year, which I discovered, was it 2-3 years ago, whenever it was? One-liner, I gave a shir on it, the Shabbos before. One thing I said was, there is no option that Lechachila fulfills every shita. It's impossible. In other words, you have to figure out on what issue you're going to be making on, either what you eat for Shal HaShittus, on when you eat Shal HaShittus.
it just it doesn't work. There's a weak, something has to be the weak link, and the different shitas about what to do in our Pesach, Chalitz v'Shabbos are in essence forget which weak link they want to rely on. Let me mention one more important issue, and then two more minor issues, and then we'll finish. A very interesting topic, which again I think expresses this duality, these two dinim in the meals of Shabbos, it comes out of the Ramah. The Ramah, right at the beginning of the siman, discusses the following. Let's say you don't eat at night. You fell asleep, you came home late, you were sick, couldn't come down to the table, you didn't eat Friday night dinner. What do you do? So the Ramah says you have to eat three meals during the day. So Tom Cabrón wants to know, what is the getter of that din? What am I fulfilling with my extra, my third meal, having all three meals on Shabbos day? What's pshat in that? Yes, but that's a different point. Yes. So it relates it to a suffek. The Birkei Yosef has a suffek. In the case where you're eating now three meals during the day, do you need to have bread at both of the first two meals? Or only at the first? Let's assume that I'll have an early, let's say I go to Hashkama Minyan that day. I go to Hashkama Minyan that day. So I'm home at 9 o'clock. I wash. That's my artificial, that's my quote lunch. Then at 1 o'clock, normal people, I have nach. I sit down for nacha meal, and then I go to shul at mincha, and I have chalashuris. So he wants to know the first meal of I'm going to have hamotzi, because that's the first meal of the day. I always have hamotzi then. But that middle meal, which is my artificial, I'm adding a meal. Do I need to have hamotzi then too? That's the subject of the Birkei Yosef. And again, in essence, what's that getting at? It's getting at the same question of Shlomka Berman asked, which is, what is the status of that third meal? Am I taking the Friday night meal, hook, line, and sinker, and bringing it to Shabbos day, or not? So, where Shlomka Berman wanted to say that it goes back to our question, and again, even though I don't know if he says it the same way, implicitly, he seems to be agreeing with Soloveitchik's point before. Namely, he says, when it comes to Oneg Shabbos, so that's only the one meal. And it's really only at night and during the day. And therefore, if I didn't eat at night, Memela, I missed it already. There's no Tashlumen for it by definition. It has to be at night. And therefore, he says, the fact that we require a third meal is not Midin Tashlumen Oneg. By definition, such a thing doesn't exist. It's only Midin Achluhu Hayom, which is a separate machayev to have three meals. And therefore, the first meal that I'll eat on Shabbos morning, whether I do it at 9 o'clock or at 1 o'clock, but by definition, that will wear both hats of Oneg and Achluhu Hayom. But the second meal, which is an artificial Yuan Shtupten, and the Shalashudas that I eat like every other week, will only have the din of Achluhu Hayom, and therefore, it's not a din in Tashlumin, and therefore, based on something of the Birkei Yosef, l'chora, you would say that you do not need hamotzi at the second meal, even if it would be during the lunch hour, then, because again, this is based on the assumption, again, he agrees with what Rav Soloveitchik said, that achluhu hayom does not require bread, only oneg requires bread. You mean Tosefes. Good. I'm going to get to it. You're on tonight. That's your second one you're mechavin to. It's going to be my last point, if I can get to it. Yeah. Right. Gastronomically or halakhically?
It's
not a fulfillment of Suda Shabbos unless, certainly not of lunch unless you wash. But it's the L'chorah it's of key of Onik Shabbos. Yeah, but if you didn't wash, then that's not the third meal. Then it's only still the second meal. That's not a meal. Huh? You mean you're saying, can I not eat Shalashudas if I have a Kiddush?
Yes.
That's what you're asking? Oh, that's a good question. So that gets to something which I didn't have time, no pun intended, which is the timing of Shalashudas.
of what time in the day that can be. And in theory, the answer might be yes. Some Rishonim hold that it can be any time on Shabbos. Some Rishonim hold that. And other Rishonim hold that I think it has to be at least a half an hour after Plag HaMincha. Either before. Right, yeah. It may be. I'm not sure. As someone who is usually eating for the first time when he makes kiddush at lunch, it's not practical for me. But I don't want to be too late. So let me finish up, and then if you have questions, I'll try to stay for a minute or two afterwards. Quickly, one shaila is whether you have a din of shalosh shudus on Shabbat on Yantaf or not. The Magen Avraham has the suffix in our simon. We know the minog is to assume not that way. But Rabbi Sachs suggests again that would be irrelevant. We know that there is an inyan of simcha and oneg on Yantif, but l'chora there's no din of ichluhu hayom, and that would perfectly correspond to what our minig is of not having shal shudas, because it's ichluhu hayom, which is a machayev of the third suda, and not oneg. And finally, a last issue which you alluded to before, which is the discussion about Tosefa Shabbos. There is a famous machlokas that is quoted by the Taz in our simin about what to do in the summer months when someone makes early Shabbos and they're home and in theory could completely finish dinner before it gets dark, before Shabbos would really be. So the Pashtuses and the Taz and others hold this way that there's nothing wrong with it. Tosefer Shabbos allows you to do such a thing. But he quotes the Taz, some poskim will hold that either you have to wait or at least you have to dray along enough that you at least eat some of the meal after it gets night. That's a machlokas. The Mishneh Berurah explains that the machmirim are based on the fact that the three meals of Shabbos are learned from our pasuk ichluhu hayom, and therefore they hold that it must be on the day of Shabbos itself, because it's ichluhu hayom. So that gets to the huge lomdus, which is not our topic, about what's the nature of Tosefa Shabbos. And the Pashto says it does not make it, it does not make it Saturday. It does not make it Yom HaShvi. That's the Pashto. Although it's a big discussion. That's a good topic for another shiur. But what's the nature of Tosefa Shabbos? I discussed that on Friday night a few years ago, over a few weeks. But basically, the point is, Rabbi Sachs just added that it's not surprising, not that he was agreeing with the Machamirim, but it shouldn't be surprising in light of everything we've learned that the Machamirim employ, what's their argument? Ichlu hayom, to make sure you would wait. Because even they agree that it wouldn't be midinonek that you'd have to wait. But ichlu hayom, which is the more formal of the two dinim, which is requires certain regimen times to fulfill that, you could still argue that Tosefus gives you that. That's a Tosefus discussion. But in theory, you could see why they would be machmir, and it makes sense that what they're machmir on is a chlu hayom, and not only, because we see again, as I've tried to show you now, and I think I just showed you six different examples, the most substantive being the bread versus not, but there's other important ones as well, that even though it's on the surface, it seems like for most, there's two mechayvim, but they're really different, and even though they overlap to a certain extent, but there really are differences, and in fact, practical halachic nafkamina as well. Good Shabbos. Enjoy and eat well.